Welcome to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. This podcast series offers a fun and serious look at hypnosis and offers various ideas, discuss case studies, along with NGH educational opportunities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. I'm Eric Damon with the National Guild of Hypnotists. Today, we're excited to present our popular roundtable discussion with some exciting hypnotists from around the United States. We have some very special guests who are joining us. Let me introduce to you Larry Garrett. Larry is a board-certified hypnotist and Order of Braid recipient from the Garrett Hypnosis and Wellness Center in Chicago. Larry is a consultant, an instructor, author, and member of the National Guild of Hypnotists since 1989. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Lisa Halpin from California is also joining us today. Lisa's been in practice for over 30 years and has a doctorate degree in clinical hypnosis. She's also the originator of the trademarked HypnoCoach program and does classes for hypnotists to become certified HypnoCoaches. Lisa also has a mentoring program where she helps hypnotists of all levels expand and improve their practice. Also, Dan Candell. Dan is board-certified hypnotist, certified instructor, and Order of Braid recipient. Dan is known for being the anxiety relief guy, along with stage hypnotist, instructor, and author. Dan, welcome.
So great to be here.
So today's topic is designed to answer a question that's asked all the time, probably asked of all of us, is, these are people who are considering hypnosis. They ask the question. And also, there are many hypnotists that need to address this. So we want to talk along those aspects as well and try to give them some ideas on how to answer the question. Today, we want to address the question from both standpoints. So people see hypnotists for many reasons, as we know, and there are people out there who consider going to a hypnotist first. And then there's the other folks who have tried everything and then get to the point where they finally decide that maybe it's time that they consider hypnosis for whatever issue they're dealing with. And we know that for those people that have never engaged or never have seen a hypnotist, this is a big step for them, and they may hesitate to make that step. So the question for the three of you is, what do you say to a potential client, somebody who's considering seeing a hypnotist, but they've never seen a hypnotist, so they're a little bit leery about it because they don't know anything about it. So what would you say to them, and how do you put them at ease in working with a hypnotist?
Well, I'm pretty fortunate. You know, I sit behind a desk now where I used to be on the stage like Dan, you know, and my armpits would always be soaked and I'd be hoping that they got stuck to the chair. One day I said, what if I just sat back here? So allow me to just speak briefly about what we do so that I want to make a profound statement that everybody leaves doing well. One thing is I was introduced to a different form of hypnosis around 1974 by a great physician from Rockford who was doing medical hypnosis. So what a gift in 1974 to be working with a doctor. You know, the doctors didn't accept hypnosis in 74. And I used to be a ham radio operator. I guess I still am. I still have a license. So I was always into electronics. And so my first video recorder, as some of you might not even recall, was a reel-to-reel called Pre-EIJ Standard. The machine was about, maybe 4 feet wide, heavy, two of us to carry it, and it had a built-in monitor, but it was video. And so I'm trying to think of the man's name right now, and I can't, but it'll come to me. But at that time, there was an elderly hypnotist. He probably was younger than me, but elderly by my standards then. And I said to him one day, I said, so what could you do, one thing to make hypnosis work better, just one thing? And he touched his head and he says, remove the first session. I thought, what a profound statement. Yes, so what a profound statement it is that first session excuse me, has to be covered so gently, so delicately, so precise. So what we started doing, and I learned this from Dr. Bure, who I worked with many years ago, is we began to make an introduction video. I still have some of those from the 70s, by the way. It looks a little different.
A little different now.
Yeah. So to this day, nobody's allowed to come and see me until they watch this introduction video, which is 15 minutes long. But the real issue is it also explains who I am, what I'm going to do. You know, we have five hypnotists at our wellness center, and I might share with you, all five of them do excellent. All five of them do well. It's kind of a unity that we have. And all five of them, in their own way, have introductions, but I'm going back to what I do. So the introduction is about 15 minutes long. They're not allowed. Let me use the wording. Sally, who runs our front office, she takes care of the phones. She will not let a person make an appointment if they don't watch the video first. So watching the
Right.
video now has removed the first session. They've met me. They see the style of hypnosis I'm going to do. I've refrained or removed all of the discomforts that they might have feared. To me, that was removing the first session without me doing a thing. Just my opinion.
Lisa, your thought. I mean, again, you've got that person who says, yeah, I want to do this, but, and that's exactly where they end. But.
Yeah. Well, if they're talking to me, they've probably seen me speak somewhere, or they've probably been a referral. So I would ask them about how they got to me and why they're checking on hypnosis at all, because they think it's going to help them, or they wouldn't have called. So I'm going to take that part and say, so what about you thinks that this would work? Because you must think it would work, or you wouldn't call me. And they're going to say, well, I've tried everything else, so I hope this will work. Or they're going to say, well, I've done this and this and this, and those haven't worked, and they should have worked, and they didn't. So then I'll tell them that hypnosis is just like watching a TV show and getting lost in the TV show and not knowing what time it is. It's just like reading a book and getting all involved in the book, or like driving down the street and you missed your exit because you were thinking about something else. All of those things are light hypnosis. So it's nothing to be afraid of. And for a lot of people, it can be their best nap ever. And if it's not their best nap ever, it's at least really relaxing and they just could hear everything that's going on while it's happening. So we're talking to their subconscious mind, like Larry said. We're talking to the part of their mind that made the problem in the first place, because
Right.
nobody ever decided to be a lifelong smoker. They just started smoking. Nobody decided to have a fear of driving. They just had a car accident and then had a fear of driving. Nobody picked out these things that they want to get over. So I just tell them, but you can unchoose them because that's all subconscious. So I talk to them about what their conscious mind is doing and that we don't need their conscious mind to participate other than to come in for hypnosis. So when I tell them how will hypnosis work for them, I tell them, you just have to believe you can be different. You don't have to believe in hypnosis. Just believe that you could be a non-smoker, or just believe that you could get over this fear or phobia. And they go, well, I think I could believe it, but I don't know how to do it. And I say, well, you don't have to know how to do it because that's what I do. So then I'll just give you suggestions that give the subconscious part of your mind, which is the one that's in control anyway, different directions. So what if you woke up tomorrow and didn't think you needed a cigarette? Just because you didn't need one, then you wouldn't be smoking. Then you'd be a non-smoker. And it's as simple as that. So I'd tell them some kind of story like that to tell them it's nothing to be afraid of. And it's just a simple thing that goes directly to their subconscious. And that if they want to change, they can change. That's the thing, is they have to want to change.
Right, definitely.
Yeah.
Dan?
I'm so glad you asked.
Everyone said your answer?
So you have to keep in mind, I'm a stage performer, as I know Larry was, I know Lisa speaks, and I like to have fun with people. So Eric, I knew what your question was beforehand, so I put it to the test. And my mom was recently admitted full-time into a nursing home. And it's a very sad, stressful thing. But good thing I'm a hypnotist, because the things that are challenging to her, I put in a slightly different positive spin. And when she says, "Ow, ow, that hurts," and she has dementia, and when she says, "Ow, ow, that hurts," I say, "Oh no, the more we do it, the better it's gonna feel. So let's do it. Here, see, it's feeling better now, right?" However, all of her nurses and all the staff at the nursing home, they now know I'm a hypnotist because she tells them I'm a hypnotist. So I handle this a couple of ways. First, and I've had many of the nurses come up to me over the past week and say, "So, what is this hypnosis stuff? Do you help people recover lost memories? Do you help people lose weight?" And the first thing I do, I like to engage in conversation and say, "Well, why don't you tell me what you think hypnosis is?" And now we're in a conversation. I also like to break patterns and just mess with people. So I
Yes, you
always
do,
have a,
don't you?
yes, I certainly do. So I always carry around a pocket watch and I say, "This is what people think hypnosis is. On my count of three, all your problems will just disappear. One, two, three." And I said, "Nope, you're still messed up." And then we laugh, right? And so number one is, if it's a person like that that's kind of coming to me and they know I'm a hypnotist and they're curious about it, I engage their curiosity. I have fun with them. I mess around with them a little bit. And it kind of breaks their pattern. It lowers those barriers down a little bit. But I want to avoid that question. So I do my very best to avoid that question altogether by creating videos. In fact, right before this, I was on TikTok. I went live on TikTok. And as soon as I pushed the live button, I had 250 people watching me live on TikTok. And I said, "On the top of the hour, I'm going to be on a panel of experts talking about demystifying hypnosis. And let's talk about what hypnosis is. Let's talk about what it isn't." So I like to make videos and publish content so that way it kind of avoids that question. So people will already have a sense of what it's like. So when they come to me, I can say this to them: "My job as a hypnotist, it's not to put you to sleep. It's not to make you quack like a chicken or cluck like a dog. It's actually just to change your mind about something. That's my job. My job is to change your mind about something. And that's what we're going to do today." And I find that just lowers people's barriers. It opens them up. And then if we do get into more of like the stage side of it and stuff, that's another conversation we open up about the difference between stage hypnosis and clinical hypnosis or consulting hypnosis. So there's a few different ways I go with it.
No, that's great. That makes sense. I mean, it's that is a tool that other hypnotists can use to put somebody at ease before they come in for their first session. And that I think that's one of the things that partially what we're looking for in talking about today is you've got your clients and how do you put them at ease, but you also have your hypnotists, anyone who's new and looking to be able to bring people into their office, and tools like that are definitely helpful.
Allow me to make one sentence comment also. So if I save 15 minutes from each client, I don't even want to say how many clients I've seen since 1970 till now. And well, actually 74. I started the video in 74. Can you imagine if I have saved 15 minutes on every client, how many hours and days and weeks and months I have saved with a video that's 15 minutes long? Just wanted to add that in there. Thank
Right,
you.
right. Now, we got two other questions that kind of go in line here too. With all of the Zoom video and is it, do you guys find it easier to work with a client? Are they more acceptable to for themselves? Are they a little more at ease to talk to you for the first time over Zoom or something like that? Or Dan, in your case, do you find that person who wants to come up on stage, then, and you kind of have to coax them a little bit to
Right.
do
And
that?
yeah, so and I want to put out there as well. So I'm not just a stage hypnotist. I have a clinic and I also do I was seeing 8 to 10 clients a day, And then I'm like, that's too much. And now I do group hypnosis. And in order for people to get an individual session with me, they actually have to be in one of my groups because I get so many people. And just like Larry mentioned, when people see your videos, it not only cuts time out, but it also positions you like they're seeing you on TV. And that's the brilliance with Zoom and with doing things online now, is you have almost like a celebrity status. And whenever people call me on the phone, because I have a team of people that work with me. I very rarely will answer my own phone. Sometimes I don't even answer my own emails. I have minions that do that for me. But I'll tell you, when I do answer my phone or when I do get on a Zoom call with someone, they say, we feel like we're talking to a celebrity. And it makes the job so much easier because trust, authority, credibility, it's one of the things that kind of hypnotizes people already. So they're already in that state of suspended disbelief where they're already about ready to receive the message that you're about to give them. So I find with doing it online, it helps so much.
Now, even if just the introduction, or it depends on each individual client.
I think it depends on each individual client, but that's why we want to create also a smattering of content. So I produce videos every single day, and I'm publishing videos every single day, not just about hypnosis, but about anxiety, about different forms of anxiety. Like Larry said, all anxiety is anticipatory anxiety, about different ways to heal, what hypnosis is and isn't. And I'll also post videos of my stage shows. Because that intrigues people and it also aggravates some other hypnotists that don't agree with stage shows. And I was getting into an online debate the other day with another hypnotist that said, I think you misrepresent hypnosis and da da da. And I respectfully said, well, stage hypnosis was responsible for keeping hypnosis alive and for spreading the word about hypnosis. And I use stage hypnosis to not just entertain, but also to educate people. And so that's where it's doing it on. We are so thankful now as hypnotists because we have such a bigger platform than we did before video sessions, before the internet. We have such a bigger platform now to educate people, to have a voice, also to entertain people as well. So I find it depends on the client. However, there are those clients that no matter what you tell them, no matter what you show them, their mind is going to be made up about hypnosis. And there are some of those people that you can confirmation bias. We can show them 100 proofs about how hypnosis is effective and studies of how hypnosis has been used, but all they need is that one proof that says, oh, my friend went to a hypnotist and it didn't work. So confirmation bias can sometimes play against us, even if we do publish 100 videos or one video.
And you find that with almost every profession, that there's always somebody who doesn't believe in what you do. Or, I mean, obviously there's doctors out there who are very successful in certain types of surgery, and there's people that don't feel that that's the way to handle whatever situation it is. So I think you find it anywhere. And obviously with hypnotists, I mean, trying to help everyday people with everyday problems, and that's something that is very important.
Yeah, you find that in almost every profession around the world, that there are skeptical folks who don't believe in things and, certain aspects of different jobs and hypnosis as well. There's those non-believers. Lisa, do you use video as well?
Well, I was just going to say, who knew that we'd say thank you for the pandemic? But there was nobody using video as commonly as they are now before the pandemic. But people got used to going on video for their work or for their social clubs or just to talk to their family. So I was one of the very first users of Zoom. And I had one of the very first accounts, and hardly anybody else ever even knew about it. But clients were like, oh, well, then I'd have to have a camera and then I have to sit in front of the computer and I just want to come sit in your office. But now it's like, oh, okay, sure, we'll get on Zoom. So that's a really good thing that happened because of the pandemic, because now everybody's accepting Zoom and they know how to use it. And you find, Dan, that every one of your clients has a camera. Larry, I mean, they do. They know how to use Zoom, but they didn't used to. So now that's just another thing that we can do. So you don't have to come into the office. And that's a blessing too, because it's not, they don't have to take as much time out of their life for an hour hypnosis session because they used to have to drive there and drive back
Right.
and spend it in the office. So now they can do it on their lunch hour at work and just close their door and go on Zoom and have a whole hour session. So that's a really helpful thing that's happened just because of the pandemic.
So another question is, do you see that clients benefit more if they see you in person versus online?
I comment. I'll comment on this one because Lisa just brought up an issue, and so did Dan, and I might share you with your question. And this is going to sound strange for me because I am into electronics. I am into Zooms like right now, but I've never done a hypnosis session in Zoom. So I have this need personally, my desire to be present with the person, to say something that's of significance and watch their foot go up as I say that, and my peripheral vision catches that. To watch them shift in the chair, to see what their legs are doing. At Zoom, you're only seeing my head. You don't know what my hands are doing below my waist right now, do you? So I like to say, one of our therapists, Allie, she does only, no, she doesn't do only, I'm sure she does a lot in the office. She has started her career with Zoom and has had great success. Now she does mostly in the office. So no disrespect to Zoom for sessions. And Lisa's so right, because when the pandemic started, I was lucky. The week that pandemic was announced, in fact, I did an NGH thing during pandemic, I remember. It was a conference. That's right. We weren't in person. I was diagnosed with stage three cancer the same week that pandemic started. So I was out of commission for a year anyway. So it didn't matter if I was doing Zoom or live, but it taught me a lot what Lisa was saying, that Zoom became prominent. But as far as a session with a client, I still refrain from Zoom. No disrespect to your guys or anybody else that does a Zoom, because that's your way. I just choose not to.
Right, it exactly. It definitely comes into, and that's what makes it so good, because a client can seek out somebody who just sees people in the office because they want to, or somebody who does a lot of sessions and is successful with sessions online because they're available. So, I mean, I think that's what makes, hypnosis accessible in any direction that somebody wants to go is, and again, move it to group sessions too. If you're more comfortable in a group session, these options are available to you. So, no, I don't think there's any disrespect there at all. I think it's a matter of how you feel, and you can be the most successful for your client.
I think
And
what
there are a
this
lot of
is.
people I know too that have given up their offices, and they're
Yes.
seeing way more people on Zoom. At the same token, I know a lot of people who they don't do sessions on Zoom, and they have a flood of people in their offices because people crave that person-to-person in-person connection. And that's where I think it's just a matter of preference. I love the convenience of Zoom. I right after this panel, I have a session on FaceTime actually with a professional tennis player that we're going to do a 20-minute session before he goes to play tennis, and we always do it in his car before the tennis match, and it's convenient for him. I love to be in my office too. It's so warm and cozy and fuzzy in there. And so I like to do it both ways, but like I said, the groups, it's easier to get people in a group if you're going to do something in a group. It's easier to get people online to attend a group now or a training, I think, versus an in-person training.
Yeah,
Right, so
right.
it's a comfort level.
I agree with Larry that for the hypnotist especially, being in the office is always better because you can see the whole client and you can see how they're laying in your chair and you can see if their one finger just moves, you know, that you can't see that online. But you get a lot more people that will come to an online session because maybe they don't live near close to your office. So I'm sure, Dan, you've got some clients, and I have clients all over the country and even out of the country that I talk to on the phone or I do on Zoom because they couldn't get to me. So I think both ways are really good that we can do that. And I was only mentioning Zoom because it's come up just because of the pandemic.
Well, being versatile is how we definitely can help people the most. I mean, that's what it takes. I really appreciate that you all took the time to talk to me on the podcast and offer your insight. You have lots of stuff in those brains of yours, and I think if it's all right, I'll definitely try to get you back on some of these podcasts as we mix them up and even talk to you individually. That would be wonderful if you have the time. So again, thank you very much, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, for the NGH, since the day I joined, I've always got the time. So just let us know.
Well, I appreciate that, and happy birthday to you.
Thank you for listening to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. You're welcome to share your ideas for future podcasts by emailing us, nghpodcast@ngh.net.